This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially. And without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, not FM.
Correct.
With Macca and myself, Tass. Macca, our next guest.
Our next guest is Harriet Shing. Harriet is the Parliamentary Secretary for Equality. And in my mind, just as important is that Harriet has a couple of greyhounds. First off, Harriet, how are they?
Good morning. It's always lovely to join you, and it's always lovely to start by talking about the greyhounds. They're wet and soggy, feeling a bit sorry for themselves, but a bit of time upside down on the couch, we'll see them right as rain in no time.
Well, Patch, with in line with the...
I don't know about wet dogs on the couch, though. I'm not happy about that.
Harriet, there's one thing you should know about Tass. Tass, I wouldn't call him a dog hater, but he doesn't like dogs.
I know, I'm working on that.
He'll say it's not true.
Project of mine.
He doesn't like dogs.
I've got to say, our communities are so such champions of retired greyhounds and rehoming them. And you can hear my Sophie in the background confirming that.
Yeah.
As a rainbow cohort, greyhounds are fully on board. So well done to everyone out there in listener land who's also in the greyhound willing human slave club.
Yeah, so there you go, Tass. Sophie is calling out to you to please love dogs.
Hello, Sophie. Love you too.
You know when he comes into my house, when Tass came into my house when we got Patch, do you know what he said? Hello, dog.
Oh, listen. That's just an inversion of hello, God. So I'm okay.
Anyway.
That's very, very quick. Now, Harriet, did you hear the interview with Matthew Guy?
I heard most of it, and I've got to say, if this is in fact what the second time around Liberal leader is saying around what the opposition's position is on our rights, then that's really, really great, because it's about time. So I'm really delighted by what I've heard, but I'm also really sceptical just given their voting record and given the fact that the numbers speak for themselves. So we shouldn't be playing politics with our community's rights. It's unfortunately what we have seen, but I've got to say I was pretty staggered by a lot of the things that I just heard on the interview now, and I'm looking forward to seeing them translate into actions and into the voting record itself.
It was pretty unequivocal, in terms of, we asked about, LGBTQI, but specifically about trans folk. We've heard the position on conversion practices. I'm sure you heard what Matt had said previously. So both of us...
Even the comments around safe schools was relatively positive.
Yeah, and I think, there's still... This is not a criticism. There's still a bit of, I think, discussion to go there on safe schools. But I want bipartisan policy on equality for my community. And the steps that Matthew made, in the last couple of weeks, I think... demonstrate that. Yes, the proof of the pudding, is always in the eating. It's when it comes to votes, but I feel much better about it than I did a month ago, that's for sure.
Yeah, I really want to be optimistic about this, but I think there's a form when it comes to the way that the Coalition talks, particularly about equality policy. They say that they support equality in principle, and then what they do is they move amendments or changes which will either put off progressive reforms or, in fact, nobble the point of those progressive reforms in the first place. And when you're talking about trans rights in particular, Matthew Guy's on the record as voting against the Births, Deaths and Marriages Bill. As is James Newbury. These are the sorts of things which, as progressive reforms, are so important for members of our trans community to be able to know that they, like everyone, deserve access to equality, including in the way in which services and administrative actions are made available. And the record just doesn't actually stack up. We've seen the Conversion and Suppression Practices Bill was the subject of an amendment from the Coalition, which would effectively have pushed this off somewhere into the middle distance. And when that amendment fell over, they didn't actually indicate their support in the chamber. They weren't in the chamber for the vote itself. And we've also heard some really vile language from people in the Coalition, in that broad church, which has it's created enormous pain for people in our communities. And I've sat opposite people on faith schools, on same-sex adoption, on births, deaths and marriages reform, on conversion and suppression practices, and heard the most disgusting expressions of opinion, which themselves cause trauma, which themselves cause pain. And then I hear this interview, and I really want to be optimistic when Mr. Guy says that this is not about politics and that the state needs unity and that that's not a cliche. It's true. These are great statements to make. But when we look at what's just happened in the course of the pandemic, where never did we need more, unity than over the last 18 months, and we've seen an extraordinary set of examples over all of that time of divisive politics. Faith schools is another example. I sat opposite the now would-be Attorney General, Tim Smith, while we were on the Public Accounts and Estimates Committee in the last Parliament, and heard the most extraordinary invective about the Safe Schools program. So again, now for Mr. Guy to turn around and say that he supports it in principle, but there may be some things that need to be ironed out, is code to me for we have serious issues with it, and if there are ways in which changes can be made to satisfy Conservative stakeholders, then we will make them.
We've had a number of bits of feedback from listeners who are expressing a bit of cynicism and saying they're optimistic but very cautious. We need to make sure that they actually stick to what they've said, keep a close eye on them, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you, listeners. What we'll be doing, Harriet, just so that we're very clear about this, is that we'll be putting a copy of this podcast in the vault, and we'll pull it out whenever we need to regularly.
Because, one of the great things about radio is you're not subject to the vagaries of a reporter who's selectively quoting you. We go to air absolutely live. And so the statements that any person makes are there. They're there forever. And I am optimistic. Yes, there's always an element of caution here, but I am optimistic because this is what I want to see.
And at the end of the day, Macca, we don't want to see our communities become a political football. We want equality, don't we?
Yeah. I mean,
the problem is, though, that we have been political footballs.
Yes.
We are political footballs. Yes. And one of the things that really causes me irritation and anger, in fact, is when I go to Pride and when I march in Pride, I walk with my values, and the personal is political for me and indeed for so many people across our communities. And then I see people at Pride who've, in fact, voted against progressive legislation, and that to me is about playing politics. That to me is lowest common denominator deception, as far as I'm concerned. And if Mr. Guy is now saying that he is in fact going to walk the talk and he is in fact going to bring all of his coalition colleagues along with him, then that's really, really wonderful news. What I am sceptical about, though, is that we'll see things chipped across the edges, particularly around the Equal Opportunity Act reforms, where, again, I've heard some pretty staggering things this morning, and it's great if it's true. I just don't believe that, in fact, we're going to see the proof in the voting record when that bill comes before the House.
And look, I hear what you say. I'm optimistic, Harriet. A message here from a listener. Are we suggesting that a new leader can't change their position once they've been better informed? I'm optimistic. Let's see how this plays out, because at the end of the day, people that know me will be absolutely bored that I'm just about to say this. I'm not interested in the politics. I'm interested in the policy. And policy for me is what it's about. This is about our community. This is about, equal means equal. and I'm optimistic. And let's move on to a couple of other things. I mean, Tass, we've tried today not to talk about COVID, but I wanted to ask Harriet, you know, in regional Victoria, it's a very different situation. It's a very different dynamic. How are the folk in regional Victoria?
I think Harriet has a little Trobe Valley in your electorate, you fear?
Yeah.
Harriet?
Yes, I go all the way from the Dandenong Ranges out to the New South Wales border.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of driving and a lot of bad car karaoke when restrictions permit. So yes, the Latrobe Valley is indeed in my patch, and the valley's done it really tough in so many ways over the last, 30, 40 years in particular, since we've seen privatisation of the energy industry. But what we have also seen, I think never more starkly than now, is the division between people with money and access to services and access to good healthcare on the one hand and those without. And the impact of the pandemic's been felt particularly strongly for people without that financial buffer who can't afford to stay home. And this has been the case not just in the Valley, not just in regional Victoria, but all over the state and indeed all over Australia and all over the world. We have seen the impact of the pandemic and of COVID being felt disproportionately and much more starkly by people who don't have the luxury of a big buffer of savings in their account or the ability to be able to stay home and not to work where we don't have Commonwealth government support in the form of JobKeeper any longer.
Because I think, you know, it's easy for us, you know, here, you know, in the inner suburbs, and, you know, we're in a very different situation. And I think that it's important that we understand there are differences. I think one of the things that's important is we remember that it is different and understand that. Do you think you're going to have a new National Party member in the state parliament, perhaps by the name of Darren Chess? Do you think he's going to jump from the feds? I mean,
that's a curly one, isn't it?
It is.
It's interesting. It's interesting because Darren actually lives much, much further east. So he's down in the Lakes Entrance area. So that's a long way from a lower house seat in Morville, which covers Traralgon and Churchill and Moe and areas like Toongabie. There are a whole lot of little towns that are a very long way from Mr. Chester's current electorate. I will leave the politics of the National Party to the National Party because I don't think it's helpful or, you know, in fact, useful for me to weigh in on that debate, and I'll very happy to stand on the sidelines. Darren's been progressive in a number of areas, though, and I just want to acknowledge the work that he's done, particularly on marriage equality. His next-door neighbour in federal politics, Russell Broadbent, is one of the few who returned a positive result in the postal survey but then proceeded to vote against the legislation. So, you know, let's see where Darren goes. He's got a strong track record in advocating for the community. It's just that he doesn't enjoy, I think, the support at a federal level that people like Barnaby Joyce do or Bridget McKenzie. And that's where, again, it's that question of the conservative side of the Nationals drowning out the voices of people like Darren who would want to be and to see a more progressive approach to policy such as the equality portfolio.
Perhaps what the Libs and the Nats in Victoria could do, they could get Bernie Finn to stand down and Darren Chester could move into his seat and then stand for it at the next election.
Are you saying that someone could get Bernie Finn to do anything? Because if Matthew Guy can't control Bernie Finn, to the point where Bernie has been on the record and is on the record as saying that, you know, progressive legislation is something that we'll regret for years to come, and that's what he said around the Births, Deaths and Marriages Bill vote. You know, if we can have someone like Bernie who's been so vile and so offensive and so distressing in what he said, being, you know, asked to stand down and actually doing it, then that would be a great day for politics.
As Martin Luther King said, I have a dream.
It's good to dream, and that's where optimism is in fact important. So again, I cautiously welcome what Mr. Guy said today. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about where we can have a united front. I'm yet to see it, and the pandemic is one of those examples where we really, really need people to stand together. Yeah. And to get us through this. So There's more work to do, but we've come a long way.
Harriet, we're out of time, but thank you so much for making time for us this morning. It's always great
to
hear.
It's always a pleasure. I'm a proud Joy member, and it's always lovely to join you.
I have one question for you from a listener. Our regular listener and probably most prolific listener, 317, asks, what has been your favourite show to watch during lockdown?
Big call, 317. Excellent question. I've got to say, and this is a... I can't believe I'm about to admit this on live radio. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, no.
It's just terrible, terrible television. I can't look away from it. I've been drinking it in. I think as much as anything, because there's so much gratuitous opulence.
We're all in shock.
I'm in shock that this is something that I can't look away from.
Well, let me give you something really good to watch. Tony Ayres, Clickbait. It is fantastic, riveting TV.
That is actually on my list. And in all seriousness, I've also been watching. I watched the Bridge, which was an absolutely sensational Nordic noir. And again, I'm very late to the party, but there's a whole lot of SBS On Demand in particular.
Yes, it's great, but television. Clickbait is local. You know, Tony's a member of our community. Yes. He lives in Port Phillip, and it is just such good TV.
Clickbait it is, but you won't get me watching Squid Game. I watched the trailer for that, and I can't yet go there. It taps into a fancy nightmare for me. But
I've got a suggestion. You could be the producer. We could get government funding for a reality show, The Farmhands of Yarragon. How's that?
I'm so up for that. Get me out there with my gumboots and tap in some designer overalls, and we'll see how we go.
Just remember, greyhounds are not really fond of mud.
Unless you get them out with enough snacks, in which case anything is possible, and that's where I'm very similar to a greyhound myself.
Yeah. Harriet, we're about to get in trouble by our producer. Our panellist is wanting to press the buttons and cut us off. Thank you very much for your time again this morning. Always great to hear from you. And we look forward to many more conversations again.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers. That was Harriet Ching, who is the Parliamentary Secretary for Equality and the Upper House Member for Country Eastern Victoria.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.